Hello, extra time.
Very important to the league not to get a hold because it damages your reputation. It makes people, when they read it, just laugh at you.
The single club, they're playing in the League One and they're playing in the Europa League and they're credit.
The game in this country.
Maybe we should
get to the Kennedy
to manage the Irish team.
Hello, Declan Maron here from the ExtraTime.ie Sportscast. Let me start off by saying sorry for the lack of an episode this week. I've been unable to get the studio to get the lads together to start recording. I can promise you I've not been skiving off. Strong painkillers have been required, so I'm not taking the mickey. I do promise you we will be back next week with a full-length show. But as I've been unable to get into the studio, without me, the lads are a little bit hopeless. We're a bit of a one-man team. That's not really true, to be honest. That's just a quick jab, while none of them are here to defend themselves. But you do need good people around you in this game, and that's exemplified this week with the sad passing of Michael Lockhart-Davis. Obviously, our deepest sympathies with his family, his friends, and all of those affected by his passing. This seems to be a huge outpouring of love and praise for the man himself, which is beautiful to see. For those of you who don't know Locker, he's a legendary League of Ireland and former Irish international kit man. He was kit man for Bray, Athlone, Drogheda, and most recently Cavan Teely, where his loss has been massively felt. With the absence of a podcast then this week, we thought this chat might be quite fitting. It's our very own Josh Dolan. He got the chance to speak to Pat Devlin about the man himself, Lockhart-Davis, and how he's affected the club, and some really nice stories in here, well worth a listen. And it should be a nice tribute, as is the testimonial that's going to be hosted in Stradbrook for Locker this Sunday. That's Sunday the 25th of August. So please do go along if you can. There's three games set to be held and some great names, some current players, some former legends in there. We will tweet out. There's a piece on extratime.ie with details all about it. You've got your first game at 2 o'clock. Locker's legends, managed by Eddie Wallace, ex-Athlone town manager. They take on the League of Ireland legends, and there's a couple of games like that. I've seen a couple of interesting names. Obviously, some of the current players, Dane Massey, Chris Shields and Dylan Watts, involved, as well as some of the Bray and Cabo players. But the likes of Paulo Sam, Eddie Gormley, and Dublin GA goalkeeping coach Josh Moran in there as well. So do head along if you can. It's only £10 entry, and there is plenty of other ways you can get involved to support Locker's family, if you do fancy getting involved. We will tweet out, as I said, more details of that. On this chat itself, there's some really great stories in here told by Pat Devlin. I think it really exemplifies the characters, the decent people putting in the time, the effort and grafting to make improvements or help sort of forge relationships with the community. And it just shows you how important each of these people are to the clubs and how big a loss someone like Locker is. And I'm sure each club all understands this. I think it's sometimes what lures people into League of Ireland. I know from my own personal side of it, when I first started following League of Ireland football, it just gave you a lot more of a community in itself, something that feels a bit like a parish, as opposed to when you're just following the English clubs, watching them on the TV abroad. You don't get that same community sense. I think you massively do with League of Ireland. I think your ability to get involved as a fan, to feel like you're part of the club, to do something that matters for the club, it stems from characters like Locker and all the people that work really hard to get involved. So, as I said, look, we will be back with a full show next week. But right now, let's hear this great chat about a great man between Josh Dolan and Pat Devlin.
So, Pat, we're here at the launch of the Michael Davis testimonial. Obviously, it's going ahead this Sunday the 25th, hoping for a huge turnout. But Locker and yourself have been friends for, I'd say, a good 30, 40 years. What are some of your best memories of Locker, if you can sum it up at all?
Well, you know, in football, whether you be a manager, Chelsea, Man United, Liverpool, everyone, whether it's basketball, soccer, Gaelic football, hurling, doesn't matter what it is, you know, you need a kit man. You need someone who you can rely on to make sure that all the bits and pieces that you want for that occasion, for that team, for that individual is there. And when I first met Locker, late 70s, I never thought he would have been capable of achieving what he achieved on and off the park. He was recommended to me by a great player here who was manager at Dunleary Celtic when he won the Junior Cup XTK United Centre-Half called Eamon Turner. And Eamon said to me, look, would you take on Michael Lockhart-Davis? And my first thoughts were, no, I wouldn't take him on because his reputation preceded him. And then I went home and thought it out and I said, hey, everybody needs a chance, so I told him I'd take him on, and if he messed up, he'd be gone. And over those 40 years, I think he messed up maybe a million times, but I loved him to bits, and I kept him on. But he became a real professional kit man. He, not just from the kit point of view, he knew when to talk to people. He knew who to talk to, when to talk to them and when not to talk to them, which was more important. He became a very important member of our staff. But for me personally, you know, I've had many good days in football, but I've had a lot of bad days. When you have these bad days, you know, people talk about your mental health and your different issues nowadays, but it can hurt you and it can destroy you. But having someone on your side like Lockhart just makes it all sort of easier. When you get that defeat, your assistant manager doesn't ring you, your coach probably doesn't ring you, depending on the personality of the coach or the manager that you had at the time. But the one person that would ring you or would be waiting for you would be Lockhart. He'd be like that little Labrador that you would have, and he was forever faithful. But Lockhart and the likes of Bobby Smith, who's passed away last year, they were fantastic people. They were there. They were there not just to defend you, not just to talk to you and criticise you, but be constructive with everything that we did. And he turned out to be just a magnificent person and a very good friend. And to have an occasion like this is extremely sad, particularly for me. I love him to bits as a person, as a profession. You just couldn't get any better. People ask me about stories about him, and it was his quick wit. He had a reply to everything. You know, he was never wrong, and you could never give out to him. And the one thing I loved about him is when you did say something to him, he'd say in his own little smiley way, "I'm sorry. Sorry. Sorry." And once he said that, what else can you say to him? You know, it's over. You move on. And there was times when he'd make mistakes in the dressing rooms, and the lads used to love it. And they you know, they just wind him up, and sure, he'd love every bit of it. And he made great friends with the players. You can see it, the attention he's getting now, the people going to visit him. Even the other day, Big Wes rang from the Caribbean. John Ryan was in, Morris Farrell, Josh Moran, Collie Phillips, all the boys, Eddie Gormley. I mean, it's just great, because we did have a special group, and that special group was knitted by Lockhart. It was kept intact with Lockhart. He was everybody's friend, but yet he kept a strict look, a rein on everything that went on, whether it was gear going missing, equipment. We got to a stage one time, he came to me, he says, "A lot of gear going missing." I said, "Is there?" "Yeah." He says, "You know, we need to do something about it." And I said, "Yeah, okay. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll have a meeting." So we had a meeting with all the players. There was a lot of young players, new players in at the time. And I said, "Right, lads. Some gear gone missing." And I said, "I want it returned. I'm sure some of you maybe took it home by mistake and put it in your bag or whatever you're doing. But if it's not back by next Wednesday training," I said, "all the players' wages will be stopped." All the gear reappeared, and we never had a problem after that. So Lockhart was there to look after all that equipment, and he travelled, you know, from Derry to Cork, as Collie Phillips said. From we went to the United States on tour. We were away in Zurich, Trabzon in Turkey. We were everywhere, and we went together. And he was always there, always creating mischief, never doing what he was told, always had a smart remark, and above all, always had a smile on his face. And many a good night we had, many a few drinks, and many a time he went home very late, and he would be saying he was with me, and he was never with me at all. But overall, he defended me, and I suppose I covered him as well. But we had a fantastic adventure, and it was an adventure that we just kept going on and on. Now, for it to come to an end is very sad.
And obviously, since he came in here at the end of 2016, when you came, and obviously there was very little here at the time, and Lockhart helped set up the kit room across, and that's come on and on and on, as has Captain Thiele, really. And given what's gone on in the pitch this year in the club room with Shout Playoffs, he'd be, and I'm sure he is, still very proud of how the club's grown.
Well, when we came here, there wasn't even a ball. There was nothing. So
I remember.
You know, and he said, "I'm not coming back to that," he says. And I said, "Well, sort it out." And we will. And we got it sorted out. We have our own little kit place over there. And, you know, we got the gear sorted out. We got the facilities all sorted out. And he was as proud as punch. We got him his washing machine in and his his dryer and all that stuff, and just unbelievable. But people would really, you know, would miss this side of the locker. Over the years, and you know, there was all sorts of different issues. For instance, I remember there was a complaint about him using the washing machine so much out in Bray at one time. And I went up one day and I seen underpants and I seen shirts and I seen socks and I seen things. And I said, listen, Locker, you know, they're giving out that you're here all the time washing. I said, that's what I'm here for. I said, I know, but I said, with that, this old man came in and he didn't see me there, the man. And he said, well, Locker, is me clothes doing you? And I looked at Locker and Locker put his hands up. And he goes, I said, what are you? He says, he lives on his own across the road. He says he's nowhere to do his washing, he says. And I know him for years. I said, Locker, you carry on doing that. I said, fair play to you. I said, I'll sort the others out who's moaning. And he wasn't the only one. He'd done it for lots of different people.
Yeah, I can imagine.
He had Cork Tom there. Cork Tom.
Sleeping overnight.
sleeping overnight in the Carlisle. We came home freezing cold one night from Derry. And it was bitter cold. -2, I think. And we got back to the Carlisle to take the gear off the bus. And him and I were always last. He'd either drop me home or I'd drop him home. And he said, what are we going to do with Cork Tom? I said, we put him in the office. We had a little office in Bray at the time. We gave him gear, coats and everything to put over him. We put electric fire in. And Locker says to him, you don't move. I'll be back here in the morning at 6:30. I'll move and I'll have your breakfast ready for you.
He did.
And he did have his breakfast ready for him. And he was back at 6:30. And like Locker was the type of person that, you know, if we were meeting to go to, we say, Cork or Cove or somewhere, he'd be first here 2 or 3 hours before everybody. But he'd be 2 or 3 hours after when we get back from Cove.
2 in the morning, yeah.
We'd put on a wash and he'd have that wash done and ready. And he'd be back at 6:00 the next day to make sure that the gear was turned out properly and ready for the next weekend. And he'd done that meticulously. And he just a great way about him and a beautiful person. And he'd be missed badly.
Yeah, another thing I recall is, like, even when I was probably young, starting to watch the League of Ireland 10 or 11, any time I go out to the Carlisle, I wanted to be early for everything. And obviously Locker there was at the van. I didn't come to know him until probably 2014, 2015 maybe, but there was always kind of a vibe, and I think you and him probably said it the most, and Pat Finity, another man who I know was involved here as well. It was just a real kind of aura there that everything was to be done properly. Bray was a bit of a fortress at the time, but there was a real kind of friendly family atmosphere there as well. Even I could sense that looking in from the outside.
Yeah, you know, when you're short of finance in a club and you're short of several different things, you've got to make the best of what you have. And the one thing I wouldn't tolerate is anyone being disrespectful to one another, whether it be a player or a staff member. We had a wonderful, wonderful staff in Bray, a wonderful time in Bray, a wonderful, absolute, amazing adventure. And Locker was central to that. People like Bobby Smith, who passed away last year, unfortunately, in tragic circumstances. He had a terrible long illness. Pat Finnerty, fantastic people. Austin Mullen was there for a while. Gary Zambra, we had just Jimmy Lawless. We were just fantastic people. And we did set standards and we did try to maintain those standards. And we did have the friendliness and we did have the ruthlessness on the pitch. But when the match was over, it was over. And that was it. But we did make everybody feel at home and we did treat people with the proper respect. And I suppose the sad thing for me is that those traditions were not honoured and were not respected as the club went forward. And we have introduced them here in Cavintilly and they have worked again. And it's not, you know, it's not new technology. It's not nothing. It's just something like it costs nothing to be nice to people. And that's what we try to work on. And it's the same with the players. When the game's over, they're our friends. You know, you've seen the turnout today, you see the turnout next weekend. These are friends. They're all friends for life. And unfortunately, soccer has a tradition of not honouring their legends, the people who've done so much, you know. But I put Lockyer in the category of Billy Lord of Shamrock Rovers, Gene McKenna, who was up in Drogheda for many, many years, fantastic man, and another great man, Vincent Hoey, who is ill at the moment, former chairman of Drogheda. These people should be respected for what they did and what the contribution they made to just the local community, the society, to young people growing up, the influence they made. Yeah, you know, we all have another side of us, but on the general side of things, these people were totally committed to League of Ireland football. And League of Ireland football, you know, is going through a strange time at the moment. And sometimes all we talk about is the UEFA money, winning the league, the playoffs, whatever. But in between all that, there's a huge family of people going around the country, spending huge time, money and resources on trying to maintain that this league carries on. And we shouldn't forget the ones who are really committed to it and who done so much work and good work. And I was just fortunate enough that Lockyer turned out the way he did. He was just a magnificent choice. And I say to Eamon Turner now, you were right. And we got it right. And it was perfect that he ended up in a club like Bray. He had the success of two cup finals, winning leagues. We had the tragedy of relegation. We had the tragedy of losing poor old Bobby last year. And now we have the tragedy of Lockyer passing away, unfortunately. And that's life. And it'll come to us all. And sometimes we have to prioritise and say, you know, it's not about the result on the pitch. It's about how we behave off it and how we look after one another, because that's more important. Lockyer's name will always be fondly remembered. But people move on very quickly. And what I would say to you is, once I'm around, and I know all the lads, Collie Phillips and all, we're great friends, his memory will be still there.
And just one last thing, obviously, with the big day coming up this Sunday, and to help really to try and raise money to make things as easy as it can for Lockyer and his family, what would be our message to the League of Ireland community ahead of this Sunday?
Well, you know, I always say that if someone can help, you should help. If people can't help, that's fine. But those who can help and those who can come along and support this event, they should do. And if you're in the League of Ireland, when the time comes, you should get the same support and help from your fellow colleagues as we're looking for now. And that should be standard. And I would look and ask all League of Ireland clubs, ex-Bray players, ex-Cavantini, ex-League of Ireland players, it doesn't matter, support this unbelievable festival of football. Come along and enjoy it. Come up to the Noggin and buy a ticket. Just come, buy a burger, buy a pint, do whatever. Just come out and enjoy it and celebrate this little man that made people's lives a lot easier. Simple as that.
Thanks for your time, Pat. Best of luck on Sunday.
Thanks.